Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are wonderful people for taking some time out of your Packers game day to join me here to preview Packers and Cardinals. Should be a fun game. It's a very interesting game. We're going to dive into all of that in just a moment. We have a lot to go over from a Packers standpoint. The first big news of the day, Kyler Murray not playing in this game. He is going to be inactive. He is not going to play next week because they have their bye, and then he's going to play against the Cowboys the week after that. This gives Murray a little bit more time to rest. Jacoby Brissett will be the starter against Green Bay. You can argue one way or the other of which one is better to kind of attack Green Bay's defense with. I think Jacoby Brissett is easier to game plan against, and you've kind of had a couple of these quarterbacks, right, in Dak Prescott and Joe Flacco, more of your pocket passers, guys that aren't going to move around a ton in the pocket or take off and scramble very much. They've had some opportunity to prep for quarterbacks exactly like Jacoby Brissett. Kyler Murray adds an entirely different element to the table. So I think this is actually a little bit better for Green Bay, but Brissett is a very capable quarterback. We saw him play very well against Indianapolis a week ago. He's a veteran quarterback, and we've seen guys like Joe Flacco and, of course, Dak Prescott to a much higher extent have some ability and effect to kind of take apart this Packers defense a little bit. So you cannot take this one for granted. This is not one of those situations where you're going against a backup quarterback and it's over before it even starts. They can't compete. Nothing like that whatsoever. This should still be a real legitimate challenge for the Packers defense with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. And then, as I was talking about, it has been a very interesting day for the Green Bay Packers on Saturday, which leads into this game on Sunday. The first thing, their flight is delayed 5 to 6 hours, just sitting on the tarmac waiting to take off because of mechanical issues. The staff takes off ahead of time, and then the coaching staff, like the rest of the staff and the personnel and all the other stuff that it takes to put the team together on game day, they take off first. There's two planes. They take off first, and then the coaches and the players are set to take off second. And the plane doesn't work. And the other plane already took off. And now you're sitting on the tarmac for 5 to 6 hours. I cannot think of much worse situations than having to sit on the tarmac for 5 to 6 hours, kind of completely disrupting your preparation. Like, your body's just chilling on an airplane for that long. That's not great. Now you're going to fly into Arizona, less time for rest and preparation. You go to the Arizona heat. I'm really hoping that this doesn't come with some additional injuries involved with it in tomorrow's game or in today's game as you're listening to this because of the situation. Hopefully, right, it's much ado about nothing and it doesn't matter all that much at all. But I can't imagine that that's how Matt LaFleur wanted his players to be spending the majority of Saturday, was sitting in an airplane on a tarmac waiting to take off for almost 6 hours. Just a really brutal situation for the team. It's one of those situations where you just have to rally around it, say the world is against us and motivated or whatever. I don't know, but that is what it is. You still got to go and play Arizona. It definitely affects your rest time and getting into Arizona and all those sort of things. Hopefully Green Bay, it comes out hot, ready to play, and it has no effect on them whatsoever, but it's definitely something I'm going to be watching for in this game, as we'll get to that more in just a moment. The other thing is, we learned late on Saturday from Adam Schefter, Josh Jacobs is a true game time decision for this game and has a calf injury. Now, I don't want to be, there's going to be a couple things today where it might sound like I'm, you know, just rousing fear for the sake of, I'm really not. Hopefully Josh is fine, able to go and perfect, and he runs for 1,000 yards in this game. That'd be amazing. I hate calf injuries now because I've seen far too many calf injuries, mostly in the NBA, but some in the NFL as well. I'm just thinking of Tyrese Halliburton, right? Tyrese Halliburton, NBA game 7, NBA finals, calf injury, goes into it, tries to play through it. Achilles done. Damian Lillard, calf injury, works his way back, plays pretty well, and then all of a sudden Achilles. I don't need any of that issue with Josh Jacobs. If it's a calf injury, I am being as cautious as if it's a game time, it's already done for me. He's not playing. That would be my decision. Now, a calf could be a million different things, right? It could be super minor in the overall scheme of things, but just potentially holding him out for this game. And it has nothing to do. There's maybe no injury risk or re-injury risk or anything like that. The doctors and the medical staff will know certainly better than I do. Even you could give me his medical chart, I'd have no idea how to interpret it, even if it was right in front of me, right? But I just, anytime I hear the word calf, it scares the crap out of me now. I would be much more cautious with it, and I wouldn't mess with it if I were Green Bay. But that's a major storyline now, and we're not probably going to know until about an hour and a half before the game when we get those inactives if Josh Jacobs plays in this one. If Josh Jacobs doesn't go, that's a big opportunity for Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. They also called up Pierre Strong from the practice squad. That was the first indicator that, hey, something might be up here with Josh Jacobs, or at least we knew on Friday that he was added to the injury report. But on Saturday, when you saw Pierre Strong called up, you're like, oh, that's probably not good, right? And then we got the update from Schefter. Yeah, he's a true game time decision. We'll see. If Jacobs does play, is he on a snap count? Is he limited? Does he look like himself? How is he running? All of those things are very much up in the air now. I have a ton of faith in Emmanuel Wilson, like a ton of faith in Emmanuel Wilson. Now, I have a ton of faith in Emmanuel Wilson if things are blocked well for him. Josh Jacobs has made a lot of things happen when nothing is there, meaning he's taken some 3 and 4 yard losses and turned them into 1 to 2 yard gains, or taken no yard gains and turned them into 4 or 5 yard runs. I don't think Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks or Pierre Strong, for that matter, have that ability where if guys are shooting through the line to maybe make a couple people miss and still get positive yardage out of it. I do feel great if there's anything remotely blocked up that Emmanuel Wilson's going to get you good yardage. He's fast, he's quick, he's powerful, he's got good vision, he catches the ball well, he's a much better pass protector than he was in the past. It's a big opportunity for Emmanuel Wilson if he does in fact get the start and Josh Jacobs can't go on this one. Even if Jacobs does go, I would expect Wilson to be more involved and just not giving Jacobs that full workload in this one. But that's a huge storyline here. In addition, Keyshawn Nixon was added to the injury report with an illness. He is added as questionable for the game. Jacob Monk was added to the 53-man roster and will play in this game, or will be active for this game. More on that momentarily. And then, as mentioned, Pierre Strong was called up from the practice squad to the active roster, as was defensive end Aaron Mosby, who should really help on special teams and give them that fifth defensive end that they've gone into every single game with so far. With LVN being out, Brenton Cox being out, of course, Colin Oliver still on the physically unable to perform list. This gives them 5 defensive ends. That rotation is going to be interesting. You have Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, big game for Kingsley and Igbari. Baron Sorrell becomes your 4. And now Aaron Mosby will be your 5. And again, probably a huge role for Mosby on special teams as well. Meanwhile, Lucas Havrisik, the kicker, is still on the 53. Now they had the spot. And McManus, if he does play, is also probably in a similar situation to Josh Jacobs here, where it probably is a game time decision. They probably weren't going to release him almost no matter what. But if they felt 100% confident that Brandon McManus was going to kick, they probably release Havrisik before the game to not have to pay that contract in this week, right? So there is at least a concern, or there's some possibility that McManus couldn't go with Havrisik still on the roster as well. So all those things, very, very interesting sort of news and notes that took place on Saturday. Now, with 2 players being called up, Pierre Strong and Aaron Mosby, and with Jacob Monk being back on the 53, they do have a full 53 plus 2 practice squad players elevated. So they have a 55-man roster right now. 48 is the game day maximum, so they will have to deactivate 7 players. Now, to help us kind of walk through this, let's go through that Habish Urotier injury report. LVN, Christian Watson, and Devontae Wyatt are out. Now, Watson is not on the active roster, so he does not count towards one of those deactivations, but LVN, Watson, and Wyatt are out. Questionable players are Anthony Belton, Nate Hobbs, Josh Jacobs, Brandon McManus, Jacob Monk, who we now know is going to play, right? Because they activated him. They wouldn't have if he wasn't. Zach Tom, Dontavian Wicks, and Keyshawn Nixon. Here's the notes that we kind of have here based on that. We now know the Pierre Strong move is due to Josh Jacobs. We also know that they did not call up a corner. Now, they usually deactivate a corner. Kamal Haddon has been deactivated the last couple weeks. If they were going to have to deactivate both Hobbs and Keyshawn Nixon, who are both questionable for this game, they would have had to have called up another corner. So you would feel pretty confident that either Keyshawn Nixon or Nate Hobbs will be active for this game. Maybe both, but for sure, one of them should be active. If one of them can't go, then Kamal Haddon would be active. If not, Kamal Haddon likely would not be active. They also now, with Jacob Monk, have 10 offensive linemen on the 53-man roster. So you only go into game day with eight, so they will have to deactivate two. The question here, you have Zach Tom and Anthony Belton that are questionable. Are those the two? You have two injuries in Belton and Tom, so that's why you bring up Monk, and that's how you get to eight? Or is it just, hey, Zach Tom and Anthony Belton are totally fine. They're going to be good to go, and we're just going to deactivate our two, you know, our ninth and 10th offensive linemen, basically, which is Donovan Jennings would be the 10th, and then either Anthony Belton or Darian Kennard would be the 9th, depending on who they'd want to go with for this game. But I think there's still some real legitimate question as to whether or not Anthony Belton and Zach Tom will play in this game. You can bet pretty surely that two of those offensive linemen are going to get deactivated. So as you try to get to seven inactives for this game, Devontae Wyatt is for sure one. LVN is for sure two. You're going to have two offensive linemen, someone between either Zach Tom and Anthony Belton if hurt, or Donovan Jennings, Darian Kennard, and Anthony Belton if nobody's hurt. Some of those, two of those five that I just named will likely be deactivated for this game. One of the kickers will be deactivated, either McManus or Hvrsik. You have one corner that will get deactivated, either Nate Hobbs or Keyshawn Nixon if they're hurt, or if they are both healthy and good enough to go, then Kamal Haddon would be deactivated. And then you can assume that one of the running backs would be deactivated as well. This would come down to Pierre Strong or Josh Jacobs. If Josh Jacobs goes, they probably just deactivate Pierre Strong. If not, then Pierre Strong is a go. Josh Jacobs is a no-go. You could end up in a situation where maybe you want Strong to be active just in case, even if Josh Jacobs does go, just in case he can't make it through the game or something like that. If that were to be the case, I would assume somebody like Ben Sims would probably be that final inactive in that scenario. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right on those decisions can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. It's time to start getting ready for Week 7. Yes, Week 7 already, as Green Bay is set to take on a dangerous Arizona team in the desert this Sunday. And let's just say I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on the top tight ends for both teams in this game. Elsewhere in Week 7, I'm going with a big game from Justin Jefferson and a dominant performance from CJ Stroud. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning that you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on CJ Stroud's passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. As far as the Cardinals go, again, the big one was Kyler Murray. He's not going to play in this game. Two other players to slightly keep an eye on their names on the inactive list, Will Hernandez and Darius Robinson. Offensive lineman Will Hernandez, defensive lineman Darius Robinson. Two good players. They're both questionable in this game. They both practiced. I assume both are going to play, but those would be two players to kind of keep a little bit of an extra eye on when it comes to game day inactives. Let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. This one is simple. Might be lame, might be cliche, might be obvious, but I'm going to go with it anyway in this one. It's Jordan Love. Let me walk through this for a second. Your plane's delayed 6 hours. You are going on the road. It's a non-familiar opponent. It just has a weird aura and feel to this game, right? Josh Jacobs might be out. Your running game might not be going perfectly. You still have no Christian Watson. You still have no Jaden Reed. Your offensive line has been pretty up and down so far this season, and you're playing on the road with a potentially hostile environment, although I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Packers fans there as well. This is one of those games where you just want Jordan to say, don't worry about it, guys. I got this. People have been asking for the Packers to maybe throw the ball a little bit more. Well, if Josh Jacobs is out, guess what? You have the right and the opportunity to throw the ball more in this game. And I think Jordan Love is going to be up to the task and up for the opportunity to maybe, you know, put that chin strap back and just say, let's go, let's ride. Maybe a little gunslinger Jordan Love in this one. He's got to take care of the ball. We know that. He's got to make good decisions. But I think he has the ability to go into Arizona on that field, good weather, and just go out and ball out with the receivers playing the way that they are. I think Dobbs and Golden both playing great. Tucker Kraft is playing great. I think this is going to be a big Jordan Love game. When everything else around you is a little bit of a question mark, you're not sure what you're going to get, and you just need to go and take care of business. You want your leader. You want your quarterback. You want your franchise guy just to kind of lead the way. I think that's Jordan Love in this game. So again, it's obvious it's the quarterback. I'm not breaking any news here, but I think this is a big Jordan Love game. I think he's going to respond in a big way. I think we could see a 300-yard performance here from Jordan Love in this game in Arizona with some big explosive plays and some really fun, big play opportunities and big time throws from Jordan Love as well. So he's my Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. Get your Luigi's frozen pizza ready for your victory pizza following the game, or maybe you're going to hold it till Monday. I would recommend doing both. Do it after the game, dinner time, Luigi's frozen pizza. Next morning, you're still celebrating. It's victory Monday. Get that breakfast pizza out as well and enjoy a little bit of both. That's the best way to do it. That's what I would highly recommend. They got a new website up. If you're not sure where to find it, go to luigispizza.com. You can find their store locator and find the Luigi's pizza closest to you. Cannot recommend it enough. Check it out over at luigispizza.com and on social media at Luigi's Pizza. All right, here's everything I'm watching for in this game, everything that you're going to want to keep an extra eye on. First things first, it's the inactives. We've gone through it. We know why it matters. We know why it's important. But this is a situation. Josh Jacobs could be out at running back. Zach Tom could be out on the offensive line. We already know Devontae Wyatt and LVN are going to be out on the defensive line. Keyshawn Nixon or Nate Hobbs, one of them could be out at corner. That's a potential starting corner. That's a potential starting right tackle, including your best offensive lineman and one of your biggest playmakers in Josh Jacobs at running back. Those three players in and of themselves are that position at corner, one of your starting corners. And then again, your playmaker at running back, as well as your defensive line and your starting offensive tackle. Those are some big question marks when it comes to inactives in this one. So keep an eye on that, and it could very easily swing this. If all of a sudden Zach Tom, Josh Jacobs, and Keyshawn Nixon are no-goes for this game, that is a big deal. That is a very big deal. And on the flip side, if Josh Jacobs, Keyshawn Nixon, and Zach Tom are all able to play and play well, that really swings in Green Bay's favor also. So that could be a big pendulum before the game even starts. So an hour and a half before kickoff, be keeping an eye on those inactives, because there could be some real big ones to keep an eye on for Green Bay. Number two, I've said it almost every week. I don't want to say it anymore. Get some freaking turnovers. It is time. Kevin Green, love you, buddy. Rest in peace. It is time. There needs to be some turnovers by the defense in this game. It has been since week one, since you generated a true, legitimate, real, beneficial turnover. That's not good enough. Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney. I don't care who. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Nasir Stackhouse tipping a ball and picking it off and rumbling as far as he can. I don't care who it is in this game. Need turnovers. It could, and by the way, it could happen on special teams too. If special teams wants to actually create a play, force a turnover, that I'm fine with that also. But it is time for this defense to really step up and make things easier on themselves, to not have to stop them through the course of a drive, to just get that pick and or get that fumble recovery and get it over with, and to set up the offense in an advantageous position. I need some turnovers from this defense, and I need to see this team actually win the turnover differential. Make things easier on yourself. Don't have to have this uphill battle because the other team wins the turnover battle by one or two. That's a recipe for disaster on the road in this game. Number three, how does the quick pass defense respond in this game? We've seen it with Joe Flacco and with Dak Prescott. Get the ball out of your hands, throw it quick, let the receivers do the work, and don't let that defense get set up. Don't let that pass rush get home. That's a big deal in this game. Now, I agree with Jeff Hafley. I love his philosophy. And I think the idea, if you didn't listen to his press conference, I highly recommend doing so. I think the idea of, hey, we're not going to allow explosives. We're not going to allow you to run the football. Good luck with just these short passes all game long. You're not going to generate enough points. I agree with the philosophy. However, there are some things that you need to be aware of with that. You're not getting turnovers when they're usually when the ball is getting out of your hands quick. They are nickel diming you and paper cutting you to death a little bit. And we've seen this defense wear down because of all these extended drives, because of these 10, 12, 17 play drives. And it doesn't allow your pass rushers to get to the quarterback or your safeties to kind of be making those plays that you want to have them make either. So I understand the philosophy. I actually agree with the philosophy. I think it's smart overall. I don't think teams can consistently beat Green Bay by not hitting deep throws and by not being able to run the football. And Green Bay's doing a great job of taking away deep throws and not allowing any, rushing attack. But I do think they have to be a little bit more aggressive. I think the corners have to step up, make sure that some of those easy passes aren't there for the offense. And hey, maybe even jump one and again, try to get that turnover. But you've got to be cognizant of it because, teams have had some success against you as of late. The defense is getting worn down. And in the fourth quarter, those things are starting to be a little bit more accessible to the offense. And they're finding ways to move the ball with a little bit more ease. So I'm going to see how they respond and if they can kind of shut down that quick passing game a little bit better than they did in the last couple weeks, or at least the last couple games that they've played. Number four, what's the pass pro look like for Jordan Love? We know that if Josh Jacobs doesn't play, it might be a little bit of a struggle on the ground. Arizona doesn't have a great defensive line, but Josh Sweat, Calais Campbell, those guys can wreck shop if you let them. And Jordan Love has been an unbelievable, just pick you apart assassin when he is given time in the pocket right now. If Arizona can't get pressure, Jordan Love is, again, kind of what I mentioned in the player to watch in this one. Jordan Love is going to have a field day. He's going to throw all over this defense. But if you see this Arizona defensive line having a lot of success getting to the quarterback, and you see early on in this one that Jordan's taking hits and getting sacks and whatever, that's going to be a much longer day for this offense, especially if Josh Jacobs is out. So I want to see this offensive line step up. Hopefully Zach Tom is good to go. Hopefully they can stack back-to-back weeks of the same starting offensive line. That would be nice for once. And they can keep him standing upright. And if so, what an advantage for Green Bay with the way that Jordan Love is playing right now. So huge, huge game for the offensive line in this one. Number five, Emmanuel Wilson. Whether or not Josh Jacobs plays, as we talked about, I expect Emmanuel Wilson to have a bigger influence and role in this game. I think he's up for it. I cannot wait to see him get this opportunity. I do think he has the ability to be a starting running back in this league. That's how highly I think of him. At the same time, he's not Josh Jacobs. And we talked about it's tougher to get those players to miss behind the line of scrimmage when you're not Josh Jacobs. So again, that kind of goes back to the offensive line as well. But I want to see what Emmanuel Wilson can do. And again, I think the really cool thing with Wilson is that he's always been a good runner. He's always been a good runner. But now he's a complete back where if he is in pass protection, you trust him. If he is catching the ball in a swing pass or on a check down, you trust him. He really is a well-rounded back at this point of his career. I think he's ready for this opportunity. He's going to make the most of it. And again, even if it's in a backup role to Josh Jacobs, I expect him to see the ball more. And I think you're going to see a really good game from Emmanuel Wilson. Number six, I thought yesterday's show, Warren Sharp did a great job of bringing light to a stat that I wasn't aware of, that Green Bay does not have a single touchdown outside of the red zone yet. Getting those explosive plays is a really important aspect of this offense. Now, you can get explosive plays and it maybe doesn't get in the end zone. That's okay. You'll still take those every single time. But you would like to see this offense maybe have the opportunity to get an explosive play that actually goes the distance. Now, it's really hard in the NFL right now. Teams are legitimately doing everything they can to make sure that very thing does not happen. But we saw that one week, right, where Jordan and Golden were just a hair off and Golden was up the middle of the field and Jordan had him. And if he hits that throw, it's like a 90-yard touchdown for Golden. I do think there's opportunity there. It doesn't have to be a 90-yarder. I'll take a 40-yarder. I'll gladly take that as well. But I want to see some explosive plays on offense and ideally some of those explosive plays going for touchdowns. We'll be right back. Number seven, what's your plan for Trey McBride? Whatever it was last year, even with a very bright mind in Jeff Affley and having a couple different plans to throw his way, it did not work. McBride got targeted 8 times. He had 8 catches, almost 100 yards, and was a nightmare to defend in that game. And you can bet he's going to be option 1A for Arizona. He's a really good player. There's no perfect solution. He might be the Cardinals' best player, if we're being honest. And to me, he has to be the guy that you shut down in this game. Easier said than done. They've got different things they can throw at it. Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, man coverage, zone coverage, bracket coverage. You can do a lot of different things. I don't care what it is. I don't care how many things you have to try. Find something that works, because that guy will tear you apart if you give him the opportunity. So find a way to minimize, you're not stopping him, but minimize Trey McBride as best as you possibly can. Number 8, how do these corners deal with Michael Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. on the back shoulder and jump ball opportunities that they're likely going to get, that we saw T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase have a ton of success with a week ago? Now, very clear statement. Michael Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. are not T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. They're good receivers. They're not that good. Marvin Harrison Jr. is coming into his own a little bit more. You should be a little bit concerned with him. And Michael Wilson's a good physical, big body receiver that will go and out jump you for a ball, or, you know, be successful on some of those back shoulder fades as well. If you want to stop that quick passing game, sometimes the easiest way to do that, bring those corners up, play some press man-to-man coverage, allow your defense maybe to get home, keep that safety over the top, shut down the middle of the field, shut down the run. What's your weakness in that situation? Well, you're one-on-one on the outsides. Now you've got Harrison or Michael Wilson one-on-one with either Keyshawn Nixon or Carrington Valentine or Nate Hobbs. And if you're Jacoby Brissett, you're saying, all right, I'm going to take my shots. I'm going to take my shot with Marvin Harrison one-on-one against whether it's Valentine, Nixon, or Hobbs. I don't mind that matchup. We can win that matchup a lot. So I need to see those corners have a better game and a better game plan against two wide receivers that will outbody you, go get the ball, and be really frustrating on some of those back shoulder plays as well. So Green Bay needs to have a plan for that. Number 9, what's the energy level of this Packers team? They sat on a plane for 6 hours on Saturday night, get to Arizona late, wake up to 1 o'clock kick, 1:30 kickoff, basically Arizona time. What is the piss hot, so to speak? Is this a game where they come out extra motivated? Are they ready to go? Is there a little bit of a hangover effect from all that time on the plane? My hope is it's nothing, right? My hope it's completely nothing, but I'm going to be watching for it. Need to see Green Bay come out with some vigor, some energy, some intensity, and hopefully set the tone right away in this game. See if they can get out to another 10-point or more lead like they have in every other game so far. Number 10, second half defense. They've allowed 20 points in the first half of games, 80 points in the second half of games. Their overall defensive efficiency has gone down from the first quarter to the second to the third to the fourth. It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. This is going to be, you know, in Arizona. Some high temps, probably. It might be inside, but you still, you know, you kind of feel it a little bit. I'm interested to see if this defense can play better in the second half. Hopefully it's not a situation where they have to, meaning that Green Bay's down and they got to get some stops or whatever. But, you know, either way, you want them to have that success in the second half and be able to get out of that game with a win and have it not be down to the wire. So I want to see that defense play much, much better football in the second half of this game. Number 11, I want to call out two veterans in this one, Rashawn Gary, Elgton Jenkins. I need to see more from those two players. There's no LVN in this game. Rashawn Gary is going to be that number 2 defensive end, you know, pretty much full time. I mean, he's obviously going to get subs from Enigbari and Sorrell, et cetera, but it's a big game for Rashawn Gary. You know, they're going to focus on Micah Parsons every single week. You're going to get your one-on-one matchups. I need to see more disruptive play from Rashawn Gary. Need to see him being a sack monster and a menace that getting one-on-ones and has the ability to win it. He is a huge X factor for this team every single week when Micah's out there drawing all the attention. I want to see a little bit better on the offensive line. Elgton Jenkins is one of the most talented players on this team, and he needs to start playing like it. I've been underwhelmed with his play so far. I think he's a really good player. I think he's super talented. I think he can play a lot better. Hopefully we see that this week. And on the interior, again, Calais Campbell, no picnic going against that guy. You got to be cognizant of him, aware of him, and you better be bringing your A game, because I can guarantee you Calais Campbell is going to be bringing his A game, as is, I'm sure, the rest of that Cardinals defensive line. And then last but not least, number 12, what does the kicking game do for you in this game? We are in a league right now where the margins are thinner than they've ever been. I honestly feel that way. Like one blocked kick, missed kick, extra point return for a 2-point conversion, one turnover bounce, one failed punt, whatever, failed like a muff punt or whatever. Like one thing can swing this game in a completely different direction. And now you've got a backup kicker potentially in this game, or Brandon McManus coming off of injury. Hevrisik was 5 for 5 last week on kicks. That's awesome. Can you repeat that? Do you feel trepidation kicking longer field goals, making you go for it? There's going to have to be some decision making there too. I'm very curious about how this kicking game affects who ultimately comes out on top of this one. I think it could be a big story, and hopefully Lucas Hevrisik is very much up to the task in this one if needed, or Brandon McManus is awesome coming off of the week off and dealing with that injury too. I think it's his right leg, if I remember correctly. Packers are 7.5. Oh, let me just recap it really quick. So what I'm looking for, who are the inactives? Jacobs, Zach Tom, you know, Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs. Those are the big ones to keep an eye on. Can they win the turnover battle? Can they stop some quick passing game from Arizona? Can Jordan Love get the time that he needs to hopefully be the assassin that he needs to be in this game? What does Emmanuel Wilson look like if he has to start, or even if he's playing more with Josh Jacobs banged up? Can you get that explosive passing attack going? What's the plan for Trey McBride? You got to shut down the jump balls and back shoulders to Michael Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. What's the energy level after that weird 6-hour plane delay on Saturday? Can your second half defense play better? Want to see better play from Rashawn Gary and Elgton Jenkins? And what's the outcome of the kicking game with potentially having either, again, a kicker returning from injury or your backup kicker in this one? Packers actually moved to 7.5 point favorites. The line actually moved more in favor of Green Bay, at least as of recording this later on Saturday. We'll see if it moves more on Sunday. But I do think the Packers come out on top of this one. Official prediction, Packers 26, Cardinals 18. I think the Packers will be up 26-10, so a 16-point lead. I think that will be 3 touchdowns, 2 field goals with a missed extra point. So 26-10. And then similarly to last week, Arizona down by 16 points, gets the touchdown, has to go for 2, gets to 8, and then Green Bay just kind of closes it out from there. Green Bay ends with an 8-point lead, in command for the majority of the game, and they just barely cover that 7.5 point spread with that 26-18 win for your Green Bay Packers. Other games to watch throughout the course of the day in Monday Night Football. Early Saturday, Rams-Jaguars. Big game for Los Angeles. Jacksonville's been playing better. That's a really interesting one. No Puka Nacua for the Rams. Saints at Bears. I'm intrigued by that one. I think the Saints are going to be a little bit frisky in that game. One to keep an eye on the noon slate of games, as is Eagles-Vikings. A tremendously interesting game. Carson Wentz gets to start for the Vikings. The Eagles are floundering a little bit. I'm intrigued by that one. Falcons at 49ers, Sunday Night Football. You got to, like, Falcons, they just beat the Bills. 49ers have been playing good football. Not a bad matchup on Sunday Night Football. And then Bucks at Lions, Monday Night Football is going to be a huge one as well. So a lot of games to keep an eye on besides the Packers game this week. Reminder, live pre and post game show. You can find me on both of those, 11 a.m. to noon Central Time before those noon kickoff games start. I'll be live for about an hour answering all your questions prior to the game. And then after the game is done, pretty much immediately, I'll be live on YouTube as well. So make sure to check those out. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John Dimitropoulos, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, and Les Nienau. Enjoy game day, everyone. See if the Packers can pick up a big win in Arizona. I think that they will. I will see you guys after the game to break it all down. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.